Welcome to the Empowering Tomorrow's Automotive Software Podcast, brought to you by ETAS, a single source of cutting-edge software and hardware solutions that make automotive embedded systems safe, smart, secure, and sustainable. Each episode, we'll be joined by ETAS and industry experts to discuss how electrification, automation, and connectivity are impacting the automotive industry. Now, sit back and enjoy the discussion.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Empowering Tomorrow's Automotive Software Podcast, brought to you by the experts at ETAS, leaders in automotive embedded systems. I'm your host, Tim Messagey, Senior Director of Solutions Marketing at Rambus, and I am joined by our subject matter experts, Omar Al-Shabibi, Lead Product Manager from ETAS, and Adil Baruch, my colleague from Rambus, who is Business Development Director. Gentlemen, welcome.
Thank you, Tim, and thanks for having us. Yeah, pass to you, Adil.
Thank you all.
Great to have you both here. Today, we're going to be exploring accelerating time to market from silicon IP design and development to OEM software integration. Since we're all about time to market, let's dive right in. Let me start with Omar. Omar, to level set for everybody, tell us, what is a software-defined vehicle?
Yeah, thank you, Tim, for this question. So I will start with a 200,000-feet view example of what is exactly SDV, and then we deep dive into the details. So vehicles, imagine like SDV basically is like computer on wheels. It's a new ecosystem. Vehicle or software-defined vehicle is no longer a mechanical and or electronic components only. It's enabled with additional features and functionality that it's powered by software with the underlying hardware architecture that is enabling that advanced functionality. Software-defined vehicle unleashed the potential of new business models and opportunities for the OEMs and Tier 1 suppliers and Tier 2 suppliers, but also brings value and enhanced customer experience. It's a different way of interacting with the vehicle. Right? It's a different experience that you get. You'll be able to have full connection of your vehicle with the phone, which we already have nowadays, that capability and that technology, but you could go even further. That capability allows the drivers actually to test features before they use them or before they purchase them. So you'll be able to download functionality in your car and test that functionality, experience it, get the value out of it, and then decide how we want to move forward, for example. So that is one of the potential that you could get out of the software-defined vehicle here. It also, the vehicle act as a data hub, right? With all the surrounding sensors of the vehicle and the data that get generated, gathered by the sensors within the vehicle, and then you can generate information, send that information back to the OEMs, right? That on its own generates value. It does improve the maintenance on long run. It avoids physical recalls, right? Which is actually often expensive on the OEM side. So that complete feedback loop you get from the car into the OEM is tremendous. The vehicle leave the parking lot or the leadership lot now, buy it now, and then it's a different vehicle a year from now. It's the same vehicle, same hardware, same mechanical, same everything, but you've added additional functionality to it and you enhanced your experience and you got additional safety stuff and other entertainment stuff on it and stuff like that. So that is what, in a high level, what could look like as DV.
Now, is that a distant future state or is that something that we're already seeing?
Well, it's you know, we can see now the trend happening by different OEMs globally on realizing SDV architecture, start with the underlying hardware architecture with the software capability, right? We see also new software entrants getting into the market and try to support OEMs by developing, adding additional functionality into the car, right? It's hard to predict the timeline, but I would say the journey has started. We see definitely there is an interest, definitely there is an evolution, and you know that it's going to continue increase, continue add value to the consumer, and also get a mutual benefit for both OEMs, Tier 1, Tier 2 suppliers, as well as the consumer.
Okay. Adil, let me bring you into the conversation here. Given everything that Omar just talked about, what are the hardware implications of that?
Yeah, so that's a great question, Tim. And as Omar just explained, data is at the core of a software-defined vehicle. So I believe the first implication you will notice is the growing need for sensors. So the software-defined vehicles are expected to be equipped with many more sensors, including LiDAR, radar, cameras, which are used for ADAS and AD applications. You will also see a growing trend towards a zonal-based EE architecture, which allows for distributed and parallel data processing at the edge. So data processing closer to where data is generated, mainly to minimize latency for time-sensitive applications. And I believe another hardware implication is the shift from simple basic microcontrollers to more powerful microprocessor-based system on chips. So those advanced system on chips are equipped to handle the larger amounts of sensor data. They will also be equipped to execute real-time decision-making algorithms and process, let's say, sophisticated software in real-time. So to summarize, there will be more sensors, a new EE architecture to provide the foundation for the software-defined vehicle, and powerful system-on-chips.
So there's never a free lunch, right? You get all this more powerful computing hardware. It introduces new challenges. Talk about that.
So indeed, the vehicle has become a powerful computing platform with the microprocessor-based system-on-chip at the core, at the cornerstone. Not without challenges. So I would say we can broadly classify those challenges into three categories. The first one would be the complexity. So we expect higher complexity. So the software-defined vehicles will come with higher complexity. Second one would be the integration and compatibility challenges. And the third category would be security and safety concerns. So those system-on-chips are typically complex, heterogeneous chips that integrate many computing resources. Think of GPUs, CPUs, NPUs, DSPs, hardware accelerators, HSMs, all on the same chips, typically monolithic-based, so same technology node on the same chip. But at the same time, you will also see the introduction of chiplet technology in the automotive industry. Chiplet technology is by itself not new, but it for the automotive, it's a new technology that allows system-on-chips to serve multiple domains, such as infotainment and ADAS. So infotainment capabilities and ADAS capabilities on the same chip, typically for cost reasons. But at the same time, it also increases safety concerns, since now safety and non-safety critical functions are implemented on the same chip. And then we have the challenge of the integration of all those hardware and software components we just described, the CPUs, GPUs, NPUs, and the software that comes with it. And when those components do not work seamlessly, bugs and cybersecurity vulnerabilities are likely to be introduced, posing security risks in vehicles. In fact, with the 24/7 connected vehicles, and V2X capabilities, including vehicle-to-grid, vehicle-to-infrastructure, you can imagine that not only the safety of the driver is at risk, but the entire automotive ecosystem and the infrastructure are potentially in danger.
Exactly, exactly. And Omar, powerful heterogeneous computing platform. Now you've got a more sophisticated software stack. Can you kind of talk about how that is evolving in the software-defined vehicle?
Yeah, absolutely. So as mentioned by my colleague Adil, you know, that complexity is growing, right? You know, in order to realize the software-defined vehicle with the underlying hardware architecture, you need a software, of course, to move and provide that service and a new experience towards the consumer. So if we think about the technology stack, we start, you know, you have your own ECUs, you have the domain controllers and zonal controllers, you have all the ADAS sensors you need to have. We start from the firmware level on all these chips, right? You know, microcontroller-based implementation or system-on-chip-based implementation goes all the way into the middleware stack, right? You have the standard components of classic AUTOSAR, adaptive AUTOSAR now, all the way into some custom solutions and middleware stack from different suppliers. For example, ETAS also has the automotive operating system, what we call the AOS middleware. But also you have ability also to run even open source software. So there is a trend that it's we can see nowadays where there is open source discussion, software discussion that it's coming into the automotive industry. So how you protect that, how you maintain that, how you certify that, so and stuff like that. So the technology stack starts from the underlying hardware, all the middleware stack, POSIX environment, all the way into all the specific OEM implementation, applications, diagnostics, entertainment, all the applications that you can see and interface with your car, right? All the way from the ADAS functionality, sensor fusion, all the way into the IVI infotainment. So that kind of thing that we can see here, and that's the evolution that it's going to continue to provide the or realize the real software-defined vehicle.
And thank you, Omar. And Adil, you know, as you both talk, it's clear that there's a lot of interactivity, interrelation between the hardware and the software. And it really implies to me, anyways, listening to this, that you're going to need broad ecosystem collaboration if we're going to secure the software-defined vehicle. Would you agree? And can you go into that?
Yeah, that's indeed. Complexity, the growing complexity is indeed a big concern, and security is really becoming a top priority, and collaboration is key here. So especially for safer mobilities. And you will also notice many automotive key players have already recently announced strategic partnerships in this area. The collaboration of ETAS and Rambus is actually a good example of hardware and software security companies that share the same vision, the same mission, and work together to improve the safety of vehicles. So now, ETAS and Rambus experts from both domains, hardware and software, combine their security knowledge, expertise to tackle the complexity and manage cybersecurity risks. We strongly believe this joint effort will enable us to offer a root of trust in vehicles and vehicle systems based on the defense in-depth strategy and rely on the multiple layered hardware and software security capabilities both ETAS and Rambus bring. So by unifying our forces, we will be and we are in a stronger position to improve the security of the vehicles and protect the wider automotive ecosystem.
Thank you, Adil. Omar, Adil touched a little bit upon the kind of the software development. Can you talk about where does that happen in the supply chain and, you know, some of the implications of how that kind of stretches out over many companies?
Yeah, absolutely. So the value chain of the automotive on its own is complex. It starts with the tier two suppliers, whether it's a software tier two supplier or hardware tier two suppliers, all the way into the OEM, passing through the tier one supplier. So let's just take a simple example here. For us, when we develop a security software that runs on these complex advanced system on chips, right? So we kind of like a tier two supplier, if you think about it, right? We offer the software to the tier one supplier. Tier one supplier assembles the entire thing, integrates the software from multiple tier two suppliers, build the hardware, build the enclosure, build the ECU, and then sell it to the OEM. OEM gets that ECU integrated into the entire vehicle ecosystem, and then, you know, build that entire system end to end. So it's a complex value chain, starts from the tier two, goes all the way into the OEM. That includes manufacturing on different elements of the value chain, software development on different elements of the value chain and stuff like that. So what is most important thing here is the software development actually can start as early as possible. And this is what we're trying to aim for, and this is what we're trying to push for. So we as a tier two, we start from the beginning, try to develop the software, and then goes all the way into through the integration, continuous integration process into the OEM. But even if we start earlier that step, earlier than that, this the tier two step, you're going to introduce value and reduce that complexity of the entire value chain, right? If we take the ASPICE development, the automotive development process, you know, that on its own, it's really not easy to achieve, but also requires a thought process, requires, you know, dedication, requires, you know, all the documentation, the quality level you bring into the software, right? So that's what, if you start right from the beginning by getting that software developed, fulfilling that ASPICE or fulfilling the functional safety requirement or the security requirement following the 21434 or the 26262 right from the beginning and test it, then you're going to reduce and improve on this complex and long value chain till it gets into the OEM.
And it's a value chain that could take multiple years, correct?
Correct, yeah. So you could start, you know, it depends on the life cycle of the ECU development and the vehicle itself. So that cycle is not short, but you can shorten the cycle by having that process started earlier.
Okay. Given that you got a multi-year development cycle here, you can have tremendous competitive and economic impact if you can shorten that time of software development. Can you talk to that?
Yes, absolutely. So ETAS and Rambus have recognized the challenges Omar just described related to the life cycle of the product, the value chain challenges, and software integration, hardware integration, manufacturing, and so forth. So as industry leaders, we feel it's our responsibility to come together, collaborate, leverage our expertise in both hardware and software security, and find security solutions while improving time to market and solving part of those challenges. So ETAS and Rambus are now offering a new innovative automotive integrated HSM that bundles the Rambus ASIL-B certified HSM silicon IP. So it's not the chip itself, but silicon IP that our customers can integrate in their system on chips. And with ETAS embedded cybersecurity software solution, the Escrypt Cyber SoC. So this full stack hardware and software HSM solution is pre-integrated. So both hardware and software pre-integrated, pre-validated, technology node agnostic, whether it's the 40 nanometer or 5 nanometer technology node agnostic, and ready to be integrated into any system on chip for any automotive application, whether it's for infotainment or ADAS or AD, any system on chip. So essentially, this bundled solution will accelerate the hardware development and will also allow the software integration to start 18 to 24 months earlier, as just described by Omar.
And Omar, you know, conceptually, if you could shrink the timeline that much, that's got to have benefits. But have you got some real world examples you could talk about?
Yeah, definitely. So, you know, if we try to put ourselves in customer shoes, right, at the beginning, what would they need to do? So, of course, you know, there are other elements need to be integrated into the ECU, right, whether it's a vehicle computer ECU or an ADAS sensor or a communication control unit, right? The most important thing that you would need to do at the beginning is to be able to provision that ECU with a real cryptographic material. When I mean cryptographic, I mean the keys that you use as a cryptographic object to encrypt a message, decrypt a message, sign a message, verify a message, and what have you. So if the OEM is enabled, or the Tier 1 supplier, enabled at the beginning to do secure communication, for example, just use SecOC at the beginning with some crypto primitive capability, right? That on its own is a win at the beginning.
Okay.
You could even test some security use cases, right? With or without middleware stack. You could have access to that, the hardware security module component directly or indirectly. So that kind of thing, that what I would say, it does definitely add value. In addition, I would call some of these steps at the beginning, it's an early defects findings activities, right? So you don't want to test security at the end, right? Because that will be too expensive and too cumbersome. So start right from the beginning, ensure that the process is set up, the provisioning manufacturing process is planned for, right? And then you can grow as we move forward in each functionality. So that's the thing that, you know, we're trying to work with the Rambus colleagues to shape that solution to serve the market and enable the customer getting early access, I would say early access to the software and functionality of security through the bundled solution as mentioned by Adil.
Excellent. Okay, so you both have made a pretty compelling case for the benefits of an integrated solution with improved time to market. Are there more benefits that we can talk about?
Yeah, so sure, Tim. Indeed, time to market is the most important benefit. And I believe Omar just described or elaborated a bit on some risk management aspects. And I can add two more examples related to risk management and regulation compliance. So the first one is the bundled solutions we are offering here includes ASIL-B certified hardware and software and comes with safety packages. So the ISO 26262 safety packages, and which allow our customers to leverage and integrate the safety evidence, reports, work packages into their safety case, simplifying their ISO 26262 compliance journey and reduces certification costs and risk. And the same applies to security compliance. So the bundled solution includes cybersecurity evidence, security certificates, and other evidence and relevant due diligence required for cybersecurity case and ISO 21434 compliance. So time to market, risk management, and simplifying the regulation compliance for our customers and supply chain.
Omar, you want to add to that?
Yeah, sure. So I in addition to what my colleague Adil mentioned, is most important thing is reduce complexity. We're trying to bring simplicity into the entire value chain that we talked about earlier. So by reducing complexity, naturally, you're going to make the life easier for the software engineers and the system architects and system right. engineers at the tier one and the OEM to make that integration easier. And naturally, this will reduce cost. So when we talk about the reducing the time of the integration time from certain, you know, let's say 2 years to 1 year, or from 1 year to 6 months, or whatever that time is reduced by half or by 30-40%, that's on its own, it's a significant win. It will help avoid the costly and lengthy porting process. So by mm-hmm. having a silicon, so if you get an IP core bundled with a software, right, and then get offered to the silicon supplier, so the silicon can package that chip and sell it with the software included, and that software, as a matter of fact, fulfills automotive security use cases, and the OEM and Tier 1 will get that at the beginning, initially with the support and fulfilling certain use cases. That's on its own, definitely is going to reduce integration effort and makes it easier to integrate, right? And helps fulfill some use cases with that flexibility in mind. So that's the overall thing that we're trying to push for here, to make sure the quality and security posture by combining best-in-class security solution from two industry leaders here, ETAS and Rhombus, and serve our target customers.
Great. Thank you both. Omar, how can our listeners learn more about the ETAS-Rhombus integrated solution?
Yeah, absolutely. So you can check out our recent blog that we published on both websites, on ETAS and Rhombus websites. We also, you know, we will have a booth and be present at ASCAR US in June this year. If you're attending, we would love to talk with you and, you know, listen to your challenges and see what challenges we can fix and what pain points that we can address in our bundle solution. You can also feel free to message and follow up with our sales colleagues from both teams, from Rhombus and ETAS, on LinkedIn or on our website, and we'll be more than happy to help you and discuss with you. Thank you.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Thank you, gentlemen. Great discussion. Thank you, everyone, for joining us for the Empowering Tomorrow's Automotive Software podcast, brought to you by ETAS, leaders in automotive embedded systems. Today, we've discussed accelerating time to market from silicon IP design and development to OEM software integration. As Omar mentioned, if you'd like more information about the ETAS-Rhombus integrated solution, or you have any questions of our speakers, please reach out to us at etas.com. or rhombus.com, and have a great day.
Thank you for joining this episode of the Empowering Tomorrow's Automotive Software Podcast. Please leave a comment or review with your feedback or what you'd like to hear in future episodes. To learn more about automotive embedded systems and ETAS's capabilities, visit our website at ETAS. That's ETAS.com.